that as his presence pushes in your lives, the enemy is pushed out. Today is the day that we celebrate alabaster. And for those of you that don't know about alabaster, it is the way that the Church of the Nazarene funds mission projects around the world in the sense of the building. And so all alabaster funds, and we've had some pictures up there for you to see and look at, but all those funds that we collect for alabaster go directly to building these different mission outposts, building other things. And so it's a good way to help the work around the world. And so we're going to just play for a second here. And kids, once you're ready, you can be dismissed. But there's alabaster box there. You can put your change, dollars, checks in there. And then also there's some boxes to take. And you can see on the box itself, it reminds you of what alabaster is. And so a good way for you to teach your kids along the way as well. So you're welcome to put it in there, or if you want to grab a box for the coming months. If you're online, there is a place online to designate for missions and mark in their alabaster. Okay, so can we have a little bit of fun? So in first service, it was not fun, but we celebrated Perry and Christy today just to celebrate them and honor them as they are moving to South Dakota, and they've been a part of this church for over 30 years. And so if you're online or you're here, make sure and let them know how much you love them and how much you appreciate their years of service here at the church. They will be greatly missed, and, you know, I think that we'll be, in the weeks and months to come, being daily reminded of the ways in which they have served the Lord here in the life of this church. Something exciting, Carly and Mitchell, this is their first time in service as newlyweds, and so that's exciting. Did you all have a good week? Yes, Chris, you can go ahead. Yeah, let's honor them. We're so glad that you all are here and excited for what God, look at that, it's like the newlywed row. I can look straight down and see newlyweds behind, newlyweds in front. Any other newlyweds? All right, good, that's all right. Well, we're going to close out this week, and I hope that you can stay with me on this and kind of get where John's heart was in closing this passage, or really closing this letter. It is significant. And I know that I may ruffle some of your feathers. As I studied this week, I called on some people to make sure that I was understanding this well. But there's some significant truths that John was communicating to us. And I say us because this is meant for us today. But some significant truths that he was communicating to the people of that day that were so very important for us to get today. And so if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And if you have that, whether you're home or whether you're here, if you would, just please stand with us for the reading of God's Word. You're going to say, well, Pastor, this is just so basic and so easy to understand, and he's just basically put everything in a capsule and helped us understand this, but I want you to get some things here right off the bat. We know that those who are born of God do not sin. Now, I pray today that you stand here in faith, that you stand here knowing that you are born again. And if you're not, I hope you know that Jesus waits at the door for you to say and accept him as your Lord and Savior. But right off the bat, John says, because he's speaking to the church, he's speaking to people that love God, we know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who is born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. Now that should be a great reminder to you today that the evil one does not touch them. Y'all awake? You. If you're home, type in you. It's a beautiful reminder. I love this idea of God saying that we cannot be touched as his. We know that we are God's children and that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given an understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Now, this is what's fascinating. Remember, he wasn't just writing this letter to children. He was writing this letter to people of the faith, yet he closes the letter with these words, little children. Hold on to that thought, because I want you to go out understanding this. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. God, today, just allow your spirit to wash over us. Allow your presence to come. We pray in the name of Jesus today that your power, that your word would come in power and in might. And God, today that you would speak to us, God, that you would speak to us in a special way. And Lord, today that we would go out understanding what it means to be children of the faith. And God, we just pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus. He has no rights here. And so today we just pray that you would speak life and truth to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, so let's talk about being born. And we can talk about, and let's not go right off the bat with the human stuff. Let's try something else. So have you ever watched anything being born before? Yes, right? Some of you have farms, and so we're in a nice farming area, so you've watched cows or calves being birthed. You've watched other things. I made a mistake on first service and said hatched, but that's not really being born. But anyway, you know, when they come out of the egg, it's exciting, and like they breathe, you know, the air around them. Anyway, it's neat. Life is cool. It's cool to see it come to be. What's interesting here is that John uses language that relates to the spiritual, but it's all based out of the physical. What's interesting here is that John got that God created us in a physical way to understand our spiritual beings at the same time. And here it's significant to know that he's talking about has been born again. So when you look at this word has, we understand that he's speaking to people that are what? Like they're in it. He's speaking to people that believe. He's speaking to people that have already accepted Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to get this because it's important here to understand the relationships that we find in the language that he uses. Now, I think that this year during coronavirus, it has been a very, now we focus on a lot on nurses and doctors as we should and those working in the front lines, and yet teachers this year have had a rough year. If we were to just be honest and lay it all out, it has been rough. Whether you've been in person or online, you have had to be more creative, right, teachers? More creative than ever before to maintain a good, good classroom. What's interesting here is that he was actually talking about a teacher-student relationship. He was saying, if you're born of God, you maintain student status. Well, that's not exciting, right? Because we've created it so that you get through school so you can what? Graduate, right? And as a parent, you're like, you want what for your kid? You want them to graduate. You don't want them to graduate, parents? There are some of you in here. You want them to graduate. You want them to be successful. Here, John is saying, you need to maintain a teacher-student relationship when you're born again. Now, we'll get into that more as we go along here. It's also talking about, and John is saying, you need to be caught in the act of. Now, many of us, we are like, oh, we don't like that saying because it insinuates so many different things. But think about the saying when I was a kid that your hand was caught in the cookie jar, right? Okay, we had one of those cookie jars that every time it flipped open, and this can tell you about my brother and I a little bit, but my mom bought this where every time the cookie jar opened, it made a noise, and it was a little Keebler elf tree, and so when it opened, they knew that we were in the cookie jar, right? And so you just know. But I want you to think here that he's talking about being caught in the act of disobedience or caught in the act of obedience. Now, what do you mean? What was happening is that he was having to deal with false teachers. People were believing things that weren't true. They were born again, but they weren't living. They felt like the act of birth was enough, and they were moving on from the faith. And church, let's be real, there it's happening now. We are in the day where people are just, they're born again, they're good with that, they're settled, and they move on with their life. And John was saying, no, you need to be caught in the act of constantly serving and constantly being in this state as a student. He also talked about the spiritual father responsible for the new life, meaning our spiritual father is responsible for our new life. He was talking about regeneration, sanctification, ennobling. And what's crazy is he ends it by saying, little children. Now let's talk about the three B's. There are significant things here that John is pulling out. And it may offend some of you, but we just have to go with the reality of how it's written. It's why I struggled this week with this. I was like, look, Pastor, is this for real? Is this the truth? Is this what? Yes. So there's three things here that he's talking about. The first is to bear. Now, I made kind of a joke on first service, but we realize why my wife had this dream. My Hazel, our one daughter, she is obsessed with this little bear, and the bear is aging, and so we wash it. It now is missing certain things, and so it doesn't look as good as it used to look, but we continue to maintain that bear because every day, all day long, she asks, where is my bear? And somehow, we're all responsible to find it because she just can't focus, and she walks around, passes right by it. Honey, it's right there, and she just keeps on going, burr, burr, the way she says bear. And so one night, Ashley woke up screaming, and she was having a dream about a grizzly bear at the door. And I said, that is the stuffed bear growing to be a grizzly bear because it plagues us all day long. But anyway, think about, that's not the kind of bear we're talking about. So think about this here. He was actually talking about this process of bearing. Now you may say, well, I don't believe this. I don't believe that God is going after us. Church, one day you're going to realize when you meet him that before you accepted him, he was coming after you. He had a desire for you. He was sending people your way. He was sending those darts of love your way to receive you and to bring you in, to protect you, to keep you safe until you said yes to him. Church, that's the kind of God that we serve. We talk about it as prevenient grace, but I'm telling you that God is going after us. And so what does it mean here? See, it's talking about the female role. Now, I like to say that when my wife was pregnant, that I was bearing it as well. Now, I don't know about you ladies, but you would probably say that that's not accurate, right? That, you know, how some men, was it you that told me that you felt like that? No, I'm just kidding. No, that you felt those pains as well. And no matter what, we don't actually go through it. We're there to support. We're there to get the breadsticks in the middle of the night, to get the ice cream, to, you know, all of those things. But we don't bear that. We can support that, but we don't bear that. And see, what he was talking about here was in relation to the fact that God is going after us and he is preparing us and he is getting us ready for this spiritual birth and that only he can do it. I watched an isolette for many months do it for Charlotte. I was fascinated by the technology that is out there that I didn't know about and you don't really know about until you're into it. If you've ever been in a NICU, in the serious NICU, there's the regular NICU, then there's the micro NICU, which is for micro preemies. It's fascinating what they can do. She sat in an isolette. We never touched her. You put your hands through a thing. There were tubes. There were wires. There was monitors. They took care of her. And everything that needed to happen in the womb was happening in this isolette through all these tubes that went through her belly button. Think about that. God is saying, people of God, I was there. I was waiting. I was ready. Thinking about this in particular and what John was saying about us as Christians is that it was an action, meaning God was continually, meaning the female continually supplies for the baby, even after. Now you say you're crazy. Yeah, I'm a little crazy, but think about the scriptures. We hear all throughout the New Testament about going from the milk, which, let's just be real, is talking about the milk that's provided from the mother to the meat, right? Moving from, and some of us stay on the milk. We're still born again, but boy, do we stay on the milk, and boy, do we fuss, and boy, do we cry, and boy, do we cause everybody else a problem because we never moved to the meat. But here, he's saying, hey, the disciples get this. Jesus got this. He is here to provide that continual supply of all you need. But then there's also here that everything that is provided through the woman is to battle anything else. In fact, when you think about a woman's milk, and I'm sorry, I know this might be awkward, but after four kids, a lot of things just aren't awkward like they were before. And so anyway, oh my goodness. Okay, I won't say that. She's not here, though. We had a freezer when she was in the NICU of her milk, and a what is that called, a drop-in freezer, full because she couldn't drink, you know, regular milk for months. And you can ask Mike Kenny about this, but we transported all that, and not a drop of it went bad, and we used every bit of it. So, but anyway, that's totally, totally off. But I want you to think about this, that it is providing, or it does provide for all the needs, the antibodies, all the things that a baby needs. And you say, well, how was? See, I think sometimes when we look at our Bibles the way that we do, we can't handle the full meaning. We can't handle the full truth in the way that they spoke it to us. John was saying, you know what? If you're born again, then you've got to receive that, accept it, be born again, hold on to it. But there's got to come a place in your life where you move forward. And that's where we get to this idea of to beget. John here tells us that, and many of us think of begot or begotten as the only begotten son. That's different than what's here. Same relation, but different. And this talks about the male's role in procreation. Now, most of us as guys, we recognize, if we're honest, until all that's over, you know, we're more of a supportive role then. And I'm just going to speak straight out from the gospel. This isn't from me. This is from John. There is a place where we as fathers have to step in and begin to provide spiritually for our children. Is it an equal role? Yes. What's fascinating here is that in the whole complete process, John's talking about equality. He's actually saying all of it's important. If this piece isn't here, then this piece can't be here. If this piece isn't here, then this piece can't get. None is greater than the other. It's all important. But it's important that we move through the process. It's important that we move from and to. It's important that we recognize that he's always bringing us from something and taking us to something. Here he's talking about us as being heirs of his kingdom. Male, female, we're equal in that. We are a part of his kingdom once we're born again. It's also talking about equality between the first and the second. And what's interesting here too, and this is where, if you look in the Old Testament, and I know I've repeated this, but I want you to get this before we move forward. You've got to understand that adopted is the same as natural. In fact, the reason that the Old Testament firstborns, and so I can put myself in there because I'm a firstborn, the reason they didn't like adoption as a firstborn is because what? They got an equal, if you were adopted, an equal portion to the firstborn. And back in the day, that was a big deal because you got to be the heir of the estate. And here he's saying, no, we are all heirs of the estate. We are all going to inherit. And guess what? Sometimes it's not the same portion. Well, what do you mean? I think of it this way. I have people that will say, you know, I want to share my testimony, but there's not much to it. And I say, what does that mean? Like, every salvation experience is significant. And well, you know, I didn't really like have all these things in my life that, and it just doesn't feel like so-and-so's, and you know, I don't really need what, and you know what, that's great, but it's still important. But you know what, you may not need the portion that someone else needs. What John was saying here is that God understands the portion that we need, and those portions go up, and they go down, and they rotate, and they move, and they shift, and so we may not need as much today. And what are you talking about? Well, think about the role of a father. You know what? I give instruction to my kid. We sit down and we have conversations. We drove yesterday back and forth, just her and I, and she talked the whole way. And she said, Dad, what do you think? And I said, honey, I need a minute to think about that. And I said, but here's what I think right off the bat, but I want more time to get into that. And later on, I got back to it. Think about this. What he's telling us is that as we transfer to meet, it's not always dinner time. It's not always lunchtime. It's not always breakfast time. But guess what? If we hold on to his words and let him be the teacher can't always be with the student. You say, wait, God is always with us. He is. He's always there. But guess what? Sometimes he's given us a portion to that meal provides for the next, because he's got to shift a portion over here. Let's see, if we're still on milk, it's continual. Meaning we're not ready to share the portion that he's given us. This is what John is saying. He's actually saying to everybody, you've got to be okay with where you are. And then understand where you are, recognize where you are, and then recognize where you need to head. All receive portions that are equal in the kingdom of God, but they're not always relationally equal. Is that a little confusing? Yeah, just a little bit, yeah. So let's go forward here. I want to talk about this idea to be. Now, he says it right away, to be born again. and talking about be. We stress this in the church, right? We stress this idea of that we have to be in Christ. I hear people say, well, I'm trying, and I'm like, oh, wait, you're trying, or are you trying? Like, how does that work? So trying is a big word, and I think that when people share that with me, it's trying. Does that make sense? Like, when your kids say, well, I'm trying to do the right thing, and it's like, ah, if you would just think about this for a second. When you look at the way he's speaking about it, he's talking about becoming appropriate. Why? Because Jesus is appropriate, and then when he speaks into our life, we become appropriate before. Because when we're born again, all of a sudden we're justified, we're regenerated. Remember what we said earlier? And so becoming appropriate relates to the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ, as well as Jesus Christ and us, and then us and the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a trifold thing. See, the only way that we can receive is obviously through Jesus, but then we move on to receiving from the Holy Spirit, which is active. And so is this active. John is saying it's got to be active. And I'm not talking about just listening to the teachers. I'm talking about listening to the Spirit. And I know that we covered that. And as we listen to the Spirit and as we respond, we will remain appropriate before the Lord. We will remain outside of the things that the enemy has for us. So thinking about this as you go home today, here is what he wants us to understand. We're in a constant process of moving into a deeper and more intimate relationship with Christ. We're going from the stage of bear to beget to becoming all that God has for us. But at the same time, maintaining our teacher-student relationship. All right. Have you ever been to somebody's house, and I joke about this, but my mom's dad, her mom died of a brain tumor, and then he remarried, and they were just the opposite of my other side of my family. When we went to their house, like my dad's side, you know, you could do whatever, we played whatever, you can climb in the oven, you could do, we had a lot of fun. But with my other side of the family, there was a lot of prep, and so they lived in Delaware, and so as we drove from Jersey to Delaware, there was conversations as it got closer. Now remember, boys, you cannot, and the list would start, you know, they have special things, they need to be, don't touch, when we go in there, you're allowed a living room, but not the front living room, don't forget, don't ask to use the other, use this one. And I mean, it would just go, and you know, as boys, I mean, we took in about 2% of what she was saying. And then the rest of the percent, we got the eyes while we were there to remind us of what she said. And so there were a lot of things that just were untouchable. I can remember specific things in their home that we just knew, do not what? Touch. And what's funny is now I'm the same way with my kids. I'm just kidding. Sometimes. You know, there's those antique things that you say, hey, don't go into. They're not. That's been passed on. We don't want you to. And so what I want you to think about here is that all of a sudden John says, guess what? Because you're born again, the enemy cannot touch you. Church, we should be crying that out every day. We should be praying every day and thanking God that the enemy has no rights over us, that the enemy has no place over us, no matter what's happening within our body physically or outside of us, that we are his, that he's maintaining our soul, that one day we are going to be reminded that we are not touchable, that we're his. Man, if we started, you didn't even say amen, if we started living like that, church, we would be different. We just would. We would function, think, be different if we were reminded that the evil one has no rights over us. Here's where I really struggled, and you're going to, some of you will go on a path and say this is craziness, but I struggle with every time I translated this, it got down to and meant that he meant to neuter the former. Now, there's a whole long way that you get there, the directive, the passive, and I had to work through that this week. But the bottom line is, when John spoke of this, it actually says that the evil one wanted to destroy the former, and it wasn't even the language destroy, it was neuter. So what does it mean? Well, last night, my daughter said, I really like Violet, and she's so unique. Why don't we go and just breed her? First of all, that's crazy. That's kids talking, right? We don't need any more in our home than we already have. And we said, well, you know, honey, she was neutered. And I wasn't even thinking. Ashley was like, it's time for bed. And, you know, that leads into, well, what does that mean? And then all of a sudden we had to, you know, she said, no, I want to know. Like, I can't go to bed and not know. I said, okay. I said, well, you know, with animals, you know, and it was not. And then she, My wife took over because I go down a long explanation. She's like, she just can't have babies. I said, oh, there we go. That's the easy way. I usually take the long way, and I was going to tell her the whole thing. And she said, are you ready for this right now? I said, well, no, but I mean, you know. And she said, honey, she can't have babies. And then she went, oh, and she went to bed. So anyway, that's why we have ladies in our life to kind of, you know. I mean, I sat down and said, all right, it's time. And so anyway, I want you to think about this. The enemy wants to destroy it all. Well, what do you mean? John was speaking deep here. He was saying, you know that prevenient grace that we talk about, that grace of God that we don't even know about before we're born again, he wants to rip that out. He wants to get the people around you so against it. They're again, and church, this was deep. John was saying, even for those that are not born again, the enemy wants to destroy. The enemy sees and recognizes the work of God. The enemy sees and recognizes how God is going before. And so here, John was saying he wants to get rid of that. And then he wants to get rid of the work of and the connection of. And he wants to put things in their way that destroys that process of growing. He wants to put things in the way that the minute that person's ready to get off milk, something happens and they go back on milk. It was significant. John said he wants to neuter all the former. Take away, destroy, pull out. And how does it start? It starts with hurt. In fact, it translates here by the enemy bringing hurt. Now, hurt, we could sit here all day and talk about all kinds of hurt. Hurt from others, hurt from. And we could lump it all together and say the enemy's in charge of it all. He desires it all. He wants it all. He wants it all so that if you do get born again, then you won't be ready to. And then he wants it all so that when you... It also talks about here, John was talking about this degeneracy, which we don't like to use this language, but here it really meant to bring forth disease, to root it in there, let it grow. And what's crazy is that he wasn't just talking about the spiritual, he was talking about the physical, that the enemy is going to bring forth disease in the bodies of people. Because what does disease do? What does cancer do? What does sickness do? What does it do? It messes with us. Let's just be real. It messed with me. It's probably messed with you. And sometimes it stalls us in our walk with the Lord. We can be honest here and be human and say yes. John was saying the enemy is going to use all these ways. In fact, as we look around here, we have cancer survivors sitting in here. The enemy tries. He also tries to bring confusion to the identity of a person in the spiritual world. Now, how do you get identity in that? Well, he was talking about us being a student and maintaining that student status. And then he was telling us at the end, hey, you never better graduate from God's academy. And so you've got to maintain. And so your identity is really, first and foremost, to maintain your teacher-student status. Now, most of us are like, please, no, I don't want to. Think about this kind of evil was in relation to the enemy, like directly in relation. It was talking about replacing all which God. See, the enemy's in the process of replacing everything that is of God. And then evil causes evil, which causes evil, which causes, and evil entertains evil. All right. The great thing is that John was telling us today, wait a minute, telling us today that we are conquerors, that all of this can be avoided through our connection with Christ, because he said to us, what was born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. So what does that mean? Well, it means that God is with us in a way that I don't think we fully comprehend. Talks about properly attaching, because neuter, I mean, we've just got to say it. Neuter is unattaching. And he was saying, we've got to stay properly attached to Jesus, to his spirit. We've got to be connected. We have to have a handle on. We've got to understand when the spirit comes to us, how to understand it, relate it to our lives. So we are conquerors because we are untouchable. And we should praise and honor God every day for that fact, that no matter what the enemy does in our physical, no matter what he does in our situation, he cannot have our heart. He cannot have our soul. He cannot have us. The body that God's preparing for us, he cannot destroy. And so how do we maintain our conqueror status? Well, we've got to be touched by God. We've got to allow the Spirit to come in and touch our hearts. And then we've got to allow ourselves to continue to be touched by his presence. And then we have to understand that he sets us apart, that there are things, and you say, wait a minute, yeah, there are things that he's calling us to neuter. There are things that God is saying, hey, no longer is this best for you. No longer is this where I have you. Now we need to move to 8th grade, and then 15th grade, and 16th grade, and 18th grade. There is no limit to where he takes us if we'll let him. There is no graduation. There is no aha, this is it. No, God continues to take us further and grow us and set us apart and get us prepared for the kingdom of God. But it takes us allowing ourselves. So think about these if we wrap it all up. There's three things here. We've got to understand the truth in relation to Jesus that is inspired by the Spirit of God. We've got to understand that there are ways within us that are not of God. We also have to understand that there's a process of eradicating that which comes to our hearts and our minds that is not of God. He wants to get rid of it. Okay, so I want to get to this. Verse 21, and I hope when you go home that you'll just, and this sounds crazy, but I want you to read this scripture, 21. Over and over and over again. All it says is, and this is fascinating, this is how he ends this letter, meaning he's done. He said, here's the letter, I'm done, I'm over it, here it all is, I've laid everything out on the field, and this is all I can give. And he says, little children. Now, wait a minute, I thought this letter was to the adults, to those that were born again, well, wait a minute, why in the world would he say, little children, keep yourselves from idols? Church, this is huge in the church. And I don't mean AFC, just in general in the church. He was saying, hey, born again people, remain like children. Now that's confusing. Well, you say you've got to grow and you've got to go from the milk to the... Yeah, he's saying that, but let me tell you something. He heard the words of Jesus. And what were those words? To have faith like a little child. He was saying, I know you all have set up a graduation system, but I haven't. I know that you've set up a system where you've arrived, but I haven't. And so I need you to maintain your studentship. I need you to maintain that I'm your teacher. And here is the hardest thing in the life of a believer. And what he was saying here is that in order to maintain your children or your student status, you have to maintain a teachable spirit. And if you'll maintain a teachable spirit, those idols, those things, that stuff, it's not going to matter. And church, one of the greatest downfalls in the church is that we have a hard time remaining like little children. So as we go out today, I want you to be reminded that you can't be touched by the enemy. And see, most of you, when I say that, you immediately think of things in your life where you say, well, where was God then? He was with you. He was with you. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'm telling you that he was with you. And we have to stop believing we have to stop believing that this body is meant forever, that this life is meant forever. If we start looking at ourselves as spiritual beings, and we start looking at our soul as most important, not the being that we're in, yes, it's important, and yes, we've been given stewardship, and yes, we should be doing well with it. But if we really hold on to our soul, the enemy can't come after that because it's God's. So don't let him at it. That's what he's saying. Hey, little children, they have hopes and dreams. They have things to look to. They have faith where they'll go after it. So stay like a kid. And stay allowing the teacher to be your teacher. God, today we come before you.